So if you open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13, 1 Corinthians 13, and then later we'll look at Titus chapter 3. I hope that you celebrated your love this week at some point, doing something special with that special person in your life. Maybe got her a gift, went to dinner, maybe chocolates or jewelry. Just I hope you didn't spend $26 billion, remember? Woo! Way to be a part of that $26 billion there, Charlie. Did you go to the cemetery? They're cheaper. No. If you'd come to Marriage Builders, you would have heard. There you go. See. We're going to continue in our love series, being the month that we celebrate love. And we all know that love is important. As believers, we're commanded to love. We're commanded to love God, to love our neighbor, to love our families, to love other believers, and even to love our enemies. As believers, we don't have a choice but to love. But sure, there's even unbelievers, those who don't follow Christ, know the effect of love and know that love is important. The problem comes in the understanding of what love is, and we've been looking at that for a few weeks now. And a misunderstanding is the reason relationships die so fast. Why people give up so fast. It's why after saying, "I love you, and I will love you forever," you often hear, "I can't stand you," and don't want to be around you. How often do people have new soulmates? Every other month. Yeah? I'm not the only one to notice these things, right? It's because of the misunderstanding of what love is. Because an emotions-based love always ends. It always ends. The excitement ends. I'm not saying it's not renewed. I'm saying there's times that you're not going through the goosebumps feelings. There's times that we no longer feel completed. And anytime we are completed in a person other than Jesus Christ, that feeling and that emotion of completion will be done at some point. Be over. We know that love is more than goosebumps and butterflies, as we've been talking for a couple weeks here, because love does include those things. It includes emotions and it includes excitement. As I was sharing with the different amount of time in our Marriage Builders Friday night, that some had only been married months and some in over 40 years. Even those in 40 years still get the goosebumps and butterflies sometimes. Gonna get a yeehaw. Mm-hmm. There's still those. Yeah. Not too much gusto there, Charlie. He paid too much for them flowers. He's like, yeah, better be one big goosebump. And see, true love will require commitment, and it will require sacrifice. Any of these couples that have been married over a month can tell you, you're going to argue. You're going to disagree. The question is, how are you going to work things out? See, love is not about ourselves. Love is about investing in the other. This is the buildup we have seen over the last couple weeks. That love is investing in the other. It's not what I get out of it. It's what I give into it. We have seen that love is a reflection of God, for God is love. And true love is what God has done. We see in His life and in His ministry. Love is always providing and protecting, the one we claim to love. We've also seen that without love, without authentic care or desire to see the other person grow, your talent, your wisdom, and your sacrifice are all worthless. Though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, I am no one. Wow. See the importance of love. Love is the main thing. Above all else is love. Today's description of love, you know, what does love look like? When we decorate for Valentine's, we got certain things, pictures that we see. The beautiful color pink. Or red, that's good. Red and yellow is a beautiful color combined. Just throwing it out there. Hearts and cherubims and flowers. Those are great and fun for the holiday and for the emotional feel. When your granddaughter's getting on to you, you're in trouble. Stop, Grandma. Amen. <No. laughs> And so we know how to describe what decoration for Valentine's looks like. But we've got to remember the true appearance of love. Jesus taught true love, but he also demonstrated true love. Because we're told in John 15:13, that greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus showed his ultimate love, not by goosebumps and butterflies, but providing a payment for sin by protecting from the wrath of God. This is the true picture of love that we see through a holy Savior hanging on the old rugged cross. In 1 Corinthians 13, God gave us the description of love. As if you were going to point across the room and say, that's what it looks like. Here's what he's doing. How love is demonstrated in the life of Jesus. We as children of God, believers, Christian, saved, redeemed. Pick your pronoun, right? If you're one of those, you're called to love with his love. And here's the picture of it in 1 Corinthians 13. Go down to verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us and demonstrating love to us. Lord, I ask that you put your hand on each person in this room, that as we search your scriptures, you would bring conviction where that is needed, but comfort where that is. Lord, there's someone in this room that's never called upon your name, never accepted the way you've demonstrated love to us, never accepted your payment for sin, your adoption into the royal family, never accepted your eternity and your glory, that today can be the day to call upon your name for salvation. Those of us that are your children already have been adopted by your blood would have a desire and the power to love with your love. Lord, I ask that you have your way as we describe it today. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. The very beginning of verse 4 says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Now, as we read through this famous passage, wouldn't we want a relationship just like that? Someone that loves us just like that description. There's never been a divorce that says, well, I want a divorce because he loved me too much. No wife complains about he provides and protects for me too much. No husband ever says, well, she honors me way too much. See, because these characteristics of love are things we appreciate. And sometimes we want to receive them, but giving them out is tough. Why? Because reflecting Jesus Christ is not easy. That's why we continually grow to be His reflection. We're going to break down this passage into three groups over the next few weeks. Today we're going to look at love's positive qualities. Next week we look at love's missing elements, and then after that, love's active ingredients. But love's positive qualities, that's the things we like about love, the descriptive features. It's like trying to describe someone in a crowd, whether you say he's big, he's tall, he's the one over there with the long hair or no hair. He's the one with the red shirt, the yellow shirt. The first way to describe godly love is by saying what it does. And we see in verse 4, the first description. It suffers long. Oh, I hate that description. Come on, can we do something else? Because you know another word for that? Starts with a P, ends with patience. You ever prayed for God to teach you patience? Well, that's a dumb thing to do. Because He will. He will. You know, patience is a matter of enduring. It's a matter of waiting. It's a matter of suffering. And the only way to learn patience is having to go through something you don't want to go through. It's going through a hard time and standing strong anyway. Whether you have to cry or fall to your knees regularly. It means to not give up, to not retaliate, not to pay back. You know, early church father Chrysostom describes the word used here like this. It's a word which is used of the man who is wronged and has it easily in his power to avenge himself, but will never do it. This is counter to the Greek culture of that day. Their leaders taught that vengeance was a virtue. Listen to what they teach and see if it matches up with sometimes what we stand for today. Convicted me. Vengeance was a virtue. What does that mean? A hero was the one that stood for himself and fought back. Now, we're not talking about self-defense here. We're talking about revenge. Not talking about protecting, talking about repaying. Okay, there's a big difference here. Even today in movies or in society, who are the heroes? It's those that demand their rights. I want them and I want them now. It's those that attack back, make things right, if you will. We go get them. Those who fight for their own way. But see, the love that God calls us to is not our cultural love. It's a godly love. It's a God that was a love that exemplified through the life of Jesus Christ. You're going to live on love that gives goosebumps and emotions. You're going to get the same result emotions and goosebumps give you. If I can say it out loud, as I say it to the young ones that aren't married yet, listen to what love is. If you pursue goosebumps, you pursue the cool kid, the tough guy at school, you pursue the cute girl, you're going to get hurt. Because all that stuff wears off. Because our love needs to be based on more than emotions and temporary things. The love we're called to is the love of God. And we should not pursue revenge as we've seen the Greek culture would teach. Why not? Well, Romans 12, 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. This is not speaking again of defending yourself, but of getting revenge, getting payback. We should not revenge ourselves. You go to that reference that Jesus is teaching about turning the other cheek. Again, that's not a matter of self-defense. We see in Scripture plenty of areas for self-defense. That's why he told the apostles when they were going to go on a dangerous journey, sell your cloak and buy a sword. Protect yourself. Our swords today go pew pew, right? It's okay to defend yourself. But this is about paybacks. It's about revenge. It's about a built-up bitterness. We don't need that. I don't need to pay back anybody. Feel violated. We don't need to violate in return. We don't retaliate against the violator. If we're children of God, we're to reflect His character, act in accordance to His mercy, act in accordance to His grace, act in accordance to His love, act in accordance to His patience. God's patience towards you and I, isn't He? Look at His patience in Romans 5:8. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's a pretty powerful statement. While we lived in our sins, we rebelled against His righteousness. God in His holiness could have zapped us straight to hell. But instead, He not only said, I love you, He remained patient, sent His Son to offer salvation to those very sinners. Now here's the crazy thing. When did He send those sinners? Oh man, I'm going to miss her. I tried, man. Okay. You see, when did Jesus come and die for us? When we kind of fixed ourselves and we acted appropriate? No, in the middle of our sinfulness, in the middle of rebellion on earth, He was patient, not sending the wrath of God upon us. He was patient and sent to us His mercy. That's the picture there. Miss Jerry, I have no clue when you slipped in here. But welcome home. Good to be here. Good to see you here. Man, that's awesome. Good surprises sometimes. Sorry, that was a side, you know, a little infomercial. You know, Jesus Christ demonstrated such deep love for you and I that while you were still sinful in your trespasses, while you were still unrighteous, while you were still in rebellion against Him, He loved you enough to say, I'm going to hold back what you deserve. I'm going to hold back payment for what you've done. I'm not going to get revenge. I'm going to offer to you reconciliation. Is that love? You start clenching that fist, you remember, oh, instead of Jesus doing this, He did this. Why is He still allowing sin in this world today? 2 Peter 3:9 is perfect to tell us this. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. He is long-suffering. He is long-suffering. He suffers long. He is patient to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is patient. Long-suffering. God is not slack. He's going to accomplish His promise. He will purify the universe. He will punish sin. His wrath will be cast down upon those who reject Jesus Christ. But that will happen in the due time. In the time He has planned. Because He's being patient. He's given us a chance to call on Him for salvation. He is long-suffering. It's the same Greek word that's used in 1 Corinthians 13 that says suffers long. It means God is patient, giving us a chance to accept His love and have a relationship with Him. And once that appointed day comes and His patience runs out, judgment and wrath will come. Those are things you and I don't have right to give. we're not holy. That's why when the book was being opened in heaven, Revelation tells us, all of heaven rejoices saying, you are worthy, O Lord. Because only He is holy. Only He shed His blood so that we can be saved. He is the only one that has the right to pour out wrath. Because each one of us deserved that wrath. But we were saved from it if you placed your faith in Jesus Christ. That being the love that we are called to, we love even when someone's unlovable. You with me? You hear that? Loving when they're unlovable. And I said this many times over the last couple weeks, because it's hard. Oh, you just don't understand what it's like to live with them. You don't know what they're like when no one's around. No, you're right. But I know the type of love God gave to me when I was unlovable. That's the love you're called to. You know what you are called to? Listen here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. What? As if that's not enough. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Oh, geez. That's not what we want to do to our enemy, is it? You want payback. Scripture says you want payback? Love them. You know what that does to them? First thing it does to them, Proverbs 25, 22 tells us it heaps coals upon their head. Just burns them because they want you to get mad. Paybacks, love them. Love them as Christ loved them. Our desire is not to make them mad, but they can see the love of Christ through us. You want revenge? What does Matthew 5, 44 say? Bless them. You want to show them? Says, oh, good. Do good to them. You want to yell at them? What does Scripture say? Pray for them. Why? Because God, Jesus told us what? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Vengeance isn't for you and I to give. Vengeance is God's in His due time. Because remember, you and I are not of this world. Our character is now of God. We should care about them and want to help them grow. And you start by being nice, by doing good for them. Your heart will change when you start doing those things for them. You know what happens when you start praying for your enemy? You start doing good things for them? Your heart gets transformed to where you start loving them and you start caring about them. Something happens to you that God wants to work in you when you start praying for your enemy. So you really get mad at somebody? You really hate somebody? Hit your knees today and start praying to God for them. Lifting them up. And watch how God's going to change your heart and your attitude towards them. And maybe He'll allow you to reach them for His glory. When we love like God, we're going to be patient. Because our desire is not to satisfy ourselves. You notice that's what patience is. Patience is because I can't wait. Hurry up. I can't wait. And when I'm patient is they need time. They need time. With patience, I always remember the old commercial. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching anybody. Remember that commercial? Come on. So yeah, we're Baptists. We can't say raise our hand, can we? One, you can. It's two that you get charismatic. Okay. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. How patient would a brother be to that little sister? I'm not going to smack her because she needs time to mature. That's our attitude. We should be patient, waiting, and desiring to see them grow and mature because we care enough to wait on them. We care enough to endure through trials. We care enough to suffer long for them. So love is patient. And you know what patience will cause? When you're patient with them, you know what's going to cause? What's the second characteristic right there in verse 4? Kindness. Love is kind. See, kindness is the counterpart of patience. Why don't you stop to think about this? Patience is what you take in and you endure and you hold on to so that in due time the right thing can happen. Whereas kindness is how you dish out what you give, how you treat them. It's a matter of generosity. How much will you give? To truly be kind, you've got to be patient. We're called to kindness, to generosity. And to what point are we called to kindness? Listen to this in Matthew 5:40. If any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have your cloak also. Whoa. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. If someone's trying to take advantage of you and is upset and tries to take you before law, he's saying, give him something extra. He really thinks he was offended and he's really hurt and he's trying to get it back. Go above and beyond. Give him something extra. Can you imagine a display of love to anybody that's watching? Anyone that's heard about it? Why do you do that? He says if a Roman soldier compels you to carry his equipment for a mile, because legally that soldier could only compel or force somebody to carry his equipment for 1 mile. That was the most a soldier could do. So he would grab someone off the street and say, you, pick up my bag and carry it. And he could only make you carry it 1 mile. But you know what in love you do? Let's keep going. I got another mile in me. You imagine the thought process of that soldier that usually gets cussed at? Because the Roman soldiers were hated by the Jews. Can you imagine him saying, you're going to go above and beyond what you have to? You're going to just give to me extra? You're going to help? You see the love shining through your actions, what you give, what you deliver? See, this is the expected kindness God demands from a believer. Turn over to Titus chapter 3. The type of kindness that God demands from a believer is a love that reflects His kindness. God never calls us to do something He didn't set an example first for. And in Titus chapter 3, look at the kindness of God. In Titus 3, go down to verse 4. He says, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He had shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. You see the kindness of Jesus Christ? Not by righteousness that we have done. Why? Remember, we were still trapped in our sinful ways. We were still sinful. We were still enemies. We were still rebellious. And yet, what did He do? By His mercy, He sent salvation to us. In God's patience, He suffered with our sinfulness. He held back His wrath. He held back His judgment. That's patient, ain't it? That makes sense? Do you see the kindness of God? First, in His patience, He held back. And then in His action and in His kindness, He sent forth His Son. And through His Son, we can be washed of our sins. He blessed us with His seal of the Holy Spirit to mark us as His own. See, that's the kindness of God. And when Jesus was speaking of those who followed Him, you'll remember when Jesus in Matthew 11, verse 30 said, for my yoke is... Anybody remember? My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let me share something here, because being yoked and tied to Jesus, He says, is easy. To be tied to Jesus. Now, when you're tied to Jesus, He already said, you pick up your cross and follow me. What does that mean? You pick up your salvation. Let it start working in you. And so, does it sound easy? He says, it's easier than what could come if you're not with me. But what's important here is He says, my yoke is easy. The Greek word here used for easy is the same, has the same root word as the word in 1 Corinthians that we've been reading of kindness. So the word easy comes from the word kind. Jesus says, "For my yoke is kind." It's loving. It cares for you. He says, "I am kind to you. I care for you. I'm generous to you. I provide to you." Jesus has already been more kind to us than we can ever imagine. He's already saved us from our sins. If you place faith in Him, He says you've moved from death unto life. You've been bailed out of darkness and placed in His marvelous light. Oh, that's kind. That's kind. The love that we are to have for one another is to be, first off, patient, enduring through the hardships and the trials. If you've been married here for any time at all, you with me? Has it required patience? Only the women should say amen right now. Men are like, "I don't understand, dear, what he's talking about." But for real, we all know that we've struggled through some time. There's been time in my marriage that she hasn't had goosebumps. Hard to believe, I know. I've always had mine. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I'm burning up, trust me. But you know what? With patience, this year we celebrate 25 years. And probably our marriage is stronger than it's ever been. More exciting than it's ever been. We're going to be grandparents this year. Just wanted to say that again. We're blessed. Now, if we had given up years ago when things got really hard, we wouldn't be able to say right now, "We're going to be grandparents." We wouldn't be able to be here in front of this church, the church that we love. But God blesses when we are patient and watch Him work through things. When we're obedient to Him. And it took patience. It took endurance through the troubles. Not quitting. We learn too quick. And honestly, the main thing that teaches divorce today, teaches us to quit, is contemporary dating. Huh? No, I'm not saying you got to do it my way in courtship, no. But let me show you what we practice. We get a girlfriend. "Hey, sweetie. Showmate, I love you." We get in a fight, what do? "Oh, I'm done. Move on." "Hey, sweetie, you're my soulmate, I love you." "There's a problem, what do? Another girl." "Hey, sweetie, see what I just done? I have taught myself when a problem comes, we don't learn how to work things out." That's why I quit getting in a hurry to make these deep relationships. Build friendships. Get to know somebody before you start investing that way in lives. Because we can start teaching each other to give up quickly. And we start losing the blessing of long-term patience. Ain't none of us like practicing patience. But every one of us love the blessing of having patience. Because blessings come at the end of patience. Where do pearls come from? What are they inside of? Oysters. You know what happens? That oyster gets some little imperfection. Usually a bit of seed gets inside of it. Causes an irritation inside that oyster. And over time that irritation causes some hardening and some something, I don't know, and it turns into that pearl because of a problem. And it takes much time. But what happens when you take and that problem after time, and it endured, you got a beautiful little rock that I'll never afford. Walmart's got fake ones that look just like them, but, okay. I'd never get that for you, but you know. Understand, patience always has a reward on the other side. Well, love isn't just patient, it's kind, it's generous. In giving. We love the saying, "It is better to give than to receive." And the truth is, it is. When we properly use that sentence, it's a phrase that a farmer should understand of that time, that he would hold back enough seed. And the more he gave to the ground, the more he would receive later. So it is better to give. I'm giving the seed to the ground. You know why? The more I will give, the more kind I am to the wife, the better our relationship is. That's not why I should do it. I should do it out of kindness and love for her. But the more I serve her, the more kind I am to her, the more beneficial it is to our marriage. That goes both ways, doesn't it? You see the benefit of having godly love, the reward. So here's some quick practical application. The first test of love, being patient and kind. Now, here's where you want to be awake. The first test is at home. First test is at home. Home is where we have the greatest responsibility to practice love, but here's the problem. Home is also the place where we're the most comfortable to unload our frustrations, our emotions, and our problems. Home is the place that we feel easily to go off, and we got to keep it a secret. So let us evaluate how we show love at home, how we practice patience at home. To where the first time I step on that Lego, you've done it, haven't you? Larry's with me. He's like, oh, amen. That's when the kindness got to come out. And say, oh, I did this. I'm going to pick this up real quick. And you're never going to see it again. That's kindness, okay? But let us evaluate our patience and our kindness at home. How do I treat my wife? I get frustrated, upset. Am I patient? Because sometimes she's waiting for that kindness to come out. My kids. Ooh, it's easy sometimes. My son didn't even say amen. He's probably asleep. No. It's so easy. I'd love to go back over the last 20 years and redo so much. But let us evaluate. Am I patient? Am I loving at home? Am I kind and generous? The next step is at church. That's the next test of our love, is at church. Do we love one another with patience? Enduring the differences, the different characteristics, the different styles, the different ways, the different maturity levels. Some of y'all had to endure a lot Friday night. There was some different maturity levels, and I was the lowest one, wasn't I? And it was good. Yeah, I had to be there. Okay, we had fun. But for real, sometimes in this body, it's a family, and we've got to endure frustration. Not give up, not run away, but hold on, knowing this is where God has placed me. And then do we love here with kindness, looking for ways to invest and to build up and to encourage one another. The next step of our love is our neighbor. Who's our neighbor? Anyone we run into. Scripture teaches us. We want to run into all those around us. Are we patient in dealing with a sinful world as God is? Do we continue in kindness and generosity, working in a way and investing in ways that point them to Jesus Christ, call them to repentance? Do we live a life that is kind enough to be the light as we're supposed to be? You see, true love here is for all, that we would spread our love by sharing Jesus Christ, being patient so that we can invest, so we can give. You and I have a great God who was and is patient with our growth, who was kind and is kind to us. He was kind in giving us salvation. He is kind and patient by allowing us to grow slowly, preparing us for that day that we'll be in glory with Him. We serve a good God. Let's remember the goodness of God to us and reflect His love to each person that He places in our path. Would you stand with me? As we're going to have a closing song today, I challenge each one of you. Maybe you're in here this room today, and you've never been challenged in your relationship with Jesus Christ. You might know He loves the world and He died on a cross, but it goes much deeper than that. Your sinfulness has separated you from a holy God, and you need a payment to wash away your sins, and that's why Jesus Christ shed His holy blood on that cross. So that those who place faith in Him can be washed from their sins, can be cleansed. He's called you to salvation. So let me ask you, have you been saved? If not, I'd love to stay after church and chat with you. Because the main demonstration of love, you must call upon the name of Jesus Christ for salvation. Let's sing together as we close the song, God is So Good. If you like your hymnal, it's number 50.